Last Sunday morning, I began a series on the vision of our church and what are the core essentials of that vision, what we have called thumbnail proposals. There are six of them, easily memorized, and I would invite you to join me in memorizing all of them. Last Sunday, we shared together and how, as a congregation, our fundamental responsibility in realizing God's vision for our church is worship. We worship God. We worship God. And this morning, we share together around the proposal of how, as God's people, we're called to follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. And as you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. And let us share together by reading the 13th verse. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed Jesus. We follow Jesus. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Of all the social media platforms that have gained in popularity over the last several years, the one platform that seems to be the topic of almost daily conversation, no doubt in large measure because of the presence of our newly inaugurated president, is, of course, the social media platform that we know as Twitter. Many of you are familiar with that social media platform. Many of you have a presence on Twitter. I have a presence on Twitter. For those of you who aren't familiar with Twitter, you have no idea what I am talking about. Twitter is a way in which people are able to communicate. Folk are able to offer observations, comments on virtually any topic of their choosing, except for the fact that those who make comments are limited to 140 characters or less. And then people who are interested in what you might have to say are able to read your comments because they have identified themselves, "Are you ready?" as your followers, as your followers. I find that term interesting. And when I have a little more time on my hands, I think I'm going to try to do some exploration as to how the people who came up with the whole Twitter idea landed on the term follower for those who are interested in what other people have to say. Because in days past, to follow someone meant that you were interested in learning from them, in being mentored by them. You were interested in entering into some kind of relationship with someone that you thought to be an expert or an authority on a particular craft or a certain discipline. But now with the Twitterverse, as it were, expanding exponentially almost every day, the term followership has been radically transformed. When you follow someone on Twitter, that doesn't mean that you're an ardent supporter of that person's particular point of view. It just means that you're curious about what that person might be saying. Or it could be a form of subtle snooping. You know, you're just kind of paying attention to what a particular individual has to say, but it in no way assumes the kind of heartfelt devotion that the term followership once signaled. And that is why, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a bit concerned that perhaps this new cultural definition of what it means to be a follower. I'm just curious. I'm just snooping in, just leaning in to hear what you have to say. That cultural reformulation of what it means to be a follower might have an adverse impact on what we mean when we say, I follow Jesus. Because when we read the Gospels, to follow Jesus doesn't suggest that a person is merely curious about who Jesus is or what Jesus had to say. It doesn't mean that someone is simply snooping to discover more about what Jesus might mean in their everyday life. But when we look at how the Scripture speaks of being a follower of Jesus, it is very clear that the Gospels call us to a way of life that requires us to be willing to sacrifice everything and everyone to show a loyalty to Jesus that knows no bounds, that reaches no limits. We pick up that definition from this story that I have read for you today from the Gospel of Mark. You've read the Gospel of Mark enough in your own Bible reading and in your own Bible study that surely you have come to see that the Gospel of Mark is, even more than the other Gospels, an action gospel. The word immediately occurs more frequently in the Gospel of Mark than any other word. Jesus is always in a hurry to get somewhere, and when you read through the Gospel of Mark, it becomes apparent where Jesus is trying to get. He's trying to get to the cross because God has sent him into the world to yield his life for us and for our salvation. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus told his followers that if you want to be a disciple of mine, you must be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after me. The Gospel of Mark tells us that to be a follower of Jesus is something that those who are only curious about Jesus can never do. In this passage of Scripture, just the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, you can see there's so much that's gone on. Jesus has gone into the wilderness and he has encounter John the Baptist. He's been baptized by John the Baptist. Now Jesus has been led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. John the Baptist, meanwhile, has been thrown into prison. Now Jesus senses that the time has come for him to go public. And he sets out to announce the good news of the gospel, the kingdom of God. The rule of God and the reign of God have drawn near to every person. Now is the time to turn from an old way of life, to repent, and to receive the rule and the reign of God in your own life. And then he does something else. He begins to call his disciples. The first pair are Andrew and Peter. And he calls them to leave their nets behind. He says to them, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Because as Mark tells us, that's how they earned their living. And so what do? They drop their nets and they follow Jesus. They drop their nets. And they follow Jesus. And a little farther, Mark tells us, he encounters two more brothers. They work for their dad. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And Jesus extends to them the same call. And what do? They leave behind their father with his hired men. And they too go to follow Jesus. They leave everything behind and they follow Jesus. Do you get the picture? To follow Jesus doesn't mean that we're just curious about what that might mean or what Jesus has to say. Or we're sort of open to the idea of how our lives might be better if we incorporated a little bit of Jesus into our lives. The gospel from the very beginning tells us that if we're serious about following Jesus, we must be ready to forsake everything and everyone, all other loves and loyalties in life, and we must set out to pursue Jesus in the hardest, most demanding sort of way in order that we might be in a position to live out of the places where Jesus has called us, out of the experiences that we have known, leveraging them for the cause of Christ in ways that make this world more the kind of world where God's rule and God's reign always abound. This past week, the first part of the week, I was with a peer group of other pastors. It's a group that I've been a part of for over 20 years. It's a group of pastors of certain size, congregations that over the years have come together, and you're in peer groups where you hear what other people are doing. You share your stories with other people. You share your pain with other pastors, people who know what you're going through. Over 20 years ago, I was invited into the group, and almost every year I've managed to attend because it really is more than a learning experience for me. It has come to be a most meaningful support group for me. And this past week, I was reflecting on how the years have changed our conversations as pastors. Over 20 years ago, I was a much younger pastor. And in some ways, a much more ambitious pastor. And I was in a group of younger, more ambitious pastors. And when we got together, we seemed always to be talking about how do we grow the church? How do we grow the church? How do we reach more people? And to this day, even though I'm an older pastor, I still count it important to reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. I haven't lost my zeal for inviting people into the church. I have not in any way slackened in my desire to see Mountain Brook Baptist Church grow as a community of faith. But it has been interesting over the years, and I noticed it this past week, how the tone of our conversations have changed from just, let's see how many people we can get into the church, to conversations along the lines of, let's see how much we can help people grow up in the church. Let's see how much we can do to help people live out their faith in their everyday experience in ways that extend the presence of the church. Let's talk more about how we can help people to make an impact as followers of Jesus in the places where God has put them. Let's talk about how our churches can add something in our communities that no other group, institution, or organization can ever provide. Let's not only spend time counting people, let's also give some effort to weighing people. And when we began to talk about ministry and pastoring from that point of view, it inevitably causes each of us to raise the question, how heavy am I? How substantive am I? What impact can I have on the places where God has called me? For until you're able to answer that question as a pastor, as a leader of the church, you can't expect the members of the congregation to answer that question, as each of you should do. How heavy am I? How substantive is my witness? What kind of impact am I having on the places where Jesus has called me? Some months ago, I came across the story of a missionary to China named Henry Poppin. He wasn't a Baptist missionary. He was a Dutch Reformed missionary. He's one of the first Western missionaries to enter into China. Proclaimed the good news of Jesus there in that country. Went into villages that no Westerner had ever visited. And as he went, he would talk about Jesus. He would talk about the gentleness of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus. He would talk about how forgiving Jesus was. He would talk about Jesus' unconditional love for every person. He was in one village preaching about Jesus in that way, inviting them to open their lives to that kind of presence. And some of the town fathers stopped Reverend Poppin mid-sermon and said, "Oh, we know about Jesus." And Henry Poppin stepped back and said, "You know about Jesus?" "Yes, we know about Jesus. He's been here," they said. "He died here. We'll show you where he's buried." And Henry Poppin said, "Well, by all means, take me to his grave." And they led him to the outskirts of the city, to the town, village, cemetery. And there they showed him the marker, and on the marker, Henry Poppin recognized the name of a Christian medical doctor who some years ago had, on his own, without benefit of any denominational body, decided God was calling him to China. So he went to that village and there established a practice, and his kindness and his gentleness and his ability to forgive and his unconditional love for every person, it had such an impact on the village that they began to interpret his teachings about Jesus by the witness that he was giving in his everyday experience. What kind of witness are you giving in your experience? And how much are people able to connect what you say about Jesus with how you are living for Jesus? How can they connect your confession of Jesus with the manner in which you follow after Jesus? We live in a community where people all over Mountain Brook know about Jesus. I dare say there isn't a soul within the city limits of Mountain Brook who doesn't know something about Jesus. But I also know that the reason that God raised up this church over 70 years ago was for you and me, as followers of Jesus Christ, to help people move from a place where they merely know about Jesus to where they know him personally, to where they're committed to him personally, to where they have invited him into their lives as you have invited Jesus into your life, and where people within our community actually live for Jesus in a way that makes not only our lives better, but makes this Mountain Brook community better. So let's together follow Jesus in that sort of way. Let's be his disciples. Let's be Jesus to people by being fishers of men, or bankers of men, or lawyers of men, or doctors of men, or accountants of men, or teachers of men, or housewives of men, or house husbands of men, or students of men. In whatever place Jesus has called you, the Spirit has put you, to follow hard after Jesus in that place, so that people around you might see the difference that following Jesus is making in your life. And by the leadership of God's Spirit and by the call of Jesus himself, one day those persons might even open their lives and also follow Jesus in ways that show they're not just curious or snooping, but like you, committed to him for all that they are worth.